Tonight, we're going to learn probably, we're going to talk about Bishul in a Kli Rishon, and we'll begin discussing Bishul in a Kli Sheni. So, just, I guess, on page 23, so before we learn, we'll learn some of the sources. So he writes, he defines different types of Kli Rishon, Iroi Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Iroi Kli Sheni, and Kli Shlishi. We're just going to talk about the first three. Kli Rishon is a vessel with food that was cooked on the fire. So, let's say you have a pot of soup that was cooked on the fire. The pot of soup, whether it's on the fire or off the fire, stovetop, that's called a Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon is pouring the hot contents of a Kli Rishon onto another food. So, if you take, let's say, you have something in a cup, and then you pour hot water from an urn, the water in the urn is a Kli Rishon, and you pour water from the urn or from a kettle, into a cup that has spices or uncooked food, so that's Iroi Kli Rishon. Kli Sheni is a vessel into which the hot contents of a Kli Rishon are moved. So, for example, if you pour hot water from the urn into a cup, so the cup now is a Kli Sheni, and if you put uncooked stuff into the to this cup, so you're putting it into a Kli Sheni. That's all we're going to talk about this evening. So on page 23, so the Mishnah, the first source, Mishnah in Shabbos, Perek Gimel Mishnah, he says, "Ha'ilfas v'akdir v'shevir merutachin lo yitein l'tochen tavlin." So on Shabbos, you can't place spices into a pot, and it's called a stew pot or a pot that was removed from the fire while they're still boiling. But you can place the spice into a bowl or some kind of plate, a large bowl. So what we're saying here is that you can't put spices into a Kli Rishon, right? But you can place the spices into this bowl, which seems to be a cliche. We need to explain what that is. The Yerushalmi is asking, what's the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? Why is it that if you cook some food in a Kli Rishon, it's a halachic prohibition of Bishul, and if you cook something in a Kli Sheni, it's not called cooking. It's not considered Bishul. So Talmud Yerushalmi, in source 2, has two different explanations. The Yerushalmi says, "Ma ben Kli Rishon, ma ben Kli Sheni." What's the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? Or Rav Yosef be Rav Bun, kan hayad soletes, kan in hayad soletes. He said the difference is the heat. If your Kli Rishon, your hand will recoil, and the Kli Sheni, your hand will not recoil. Now that's interesting because it may depend how hot it is, right? And if you have something that's 200 degrees, you pour it to Kli Sheni, your hand will probably still recoil. It's interesting that he doesn't make that distinction, but that's what he's saying. And a Rabbi Yonah, he says, "Kam v'kav eriyad shletos." No, it's the same. Whether Kli Rishon, when you put your hand in Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni, your hand still can't hold. Ella asu archaka leKli Rishon, asu archaka leKli Sheni. But they made this kind of distancing. They distanced. They made a harchaka. Seems almost like a gzeira. It seems almost like a. Even though Kli Sheni is sometimes could be, it seems what it's saying is if it's not on the fire, maybe it really shouldn't be cooking. But we're strict as a harchaka, sort of like a gzeira. We view a Kli Rishon as if it's on the fire, but a Kli Sheni we don't. Okay. Now based on this, the Ramban says in source 3 in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Dalman Beis, if we're saying there's no real difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, except one is a harchaka to distance yourself from sin and one is not, harchaka seems to be a gzeira, so that would indicate that what? That would indicate, if you look at the last line that the Ramban said, the last bold line, he says, Shmamin, he quotes the Yerushalmi, and he says, Shmamin harchaka mi divrei hemhu. It seems it's only an issur derabanan. It would seem that what? It would seem that if you cook in the normal manner, what's cooking in the normal manner? That is, you cook food on a fire, or you cook food in a pot that's on the fire. That is the normal way to cook. That is kli rishon that's on the fire. Once you remove the pot of hot water from the fire, and then you put something in it, it's not the normal way to cook it. So since it's not the normal way to cook it, so there's an iser drabanan. There's a rabbinic prohibition. Kli shadi is totally like that's totally different, right? In other words, the real doraisa, the real Torah prohibition is you're cooking something on the fire. You're cooking something on a pot that's directly standing on the fire. So the drabanan is if you take that pot, you put it off the fire, and you're still cooking something in it. But a kli shadi is so removed from that, is so that's so unusual. It's not the way of cooking. So then it would be permitted. That's the way the Ramban understands. That kli rishon that you remove from the fire is only a rabbinic prohibition. However, the Rashban, source 4, Shabbos to Mem Beis, so he thinks differently. He thinks that no, the kli rishon is in Isser d'oraisa. It's a Torah prohibition. He says, he proves it. If you look in the page 25, he says the third line on page 25, he says, V'teida lechana puvet yudacha zidan. We see, sorry, the hataninan, the whole we learn. That anything that was already cooked from before Shabbos, you can cook it again in hot water on Shabbos. You can soak it in hot water on Shabbos. Klomar afilu b'kli rishon, even kli rishon. B'yafagav tolsa or k'or, and even though the derivative of a fire is like a fire, from vasha b'chayev chatas kim vasha aho esh mamas. So he says, if you cook it a kli rishon, it doesn't make a difference whether it's on the fire or not on the fire. That's like you're cooking on the fire. So he believes that it's a Torah prohibition. Again, so we have a debate amongst the Rishonim, is the Kli Rishon that's off the fire, is that an Issa Drabbanan, Issa Daraisa? The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, Shin Yun Ches, Sif Tes, source number 5, he says, Kli Rishon, Afilu La'achar Shebiruhu Me'al Ha'esh Me'vashel. Shulchan Aruch says that that a Kli Rishon, a Kli that was used on the fire, the hot water that was heated in the fire, even if removed from the fire, it can still cook. Kolzman shiatzlespo, as long as it's yatzlespo. We saw the temperature 104, 110, 113, a little bit of a range. So therefore, you can't put spices in it. So, however, so Mishnah Berurah in source 6 says, Or chaim shinyu ches sif katan samatalad. Aval im ein hayatzlespo, but if it's less than that temperature, filo klirisha in vashel. Even in a kli rishon is not mevashel. So okay. So in source 17, in the Shabbos kitchen, page 18, Vesimcha Budim gives a few examples here. So he says if a kli rishon contains hot foods or liquids, so you can't immerse in it any uncooked item. So for example, you cannot add seasoning to a pot of hot soup. Okay? Sorry, hold on. You cannot add seasoning to a pot of hot soup. Even after the pot has been removed from the blech, right? So it has to be uncooked. We're going to talk maybe in a later shir about what is salt. Salt might be cooked, but we're going to talk about that. But right now, if there's any type of seasoning that's uncooked, unprocessed, you have to put the spicing on it before. Seasoning before. I don't know if that works or not. But you can't. If it's raw. If it's like a raw, seasoning, so you can't put it on Shabbos because you're cooking it on Shabbos. You put it beforehand. You can't put it on Shabbos itself.
But once you put the soup in a bowl, it's
there's more reason to be leaving.
It's shady, yeah. Not in the original pot that was cooked on the stove.
Right.
So it's kli shani. So then you can add something.
It might even be kli shlishi.
Because
it depends if you hold the ladle as a kli shani.
Shaney,
so we're gonna get to that. Okay. So the not tonight, unfortunately, but then we're gonna get to that. But yeah, in other words, the pot of soup is a kli rishon. It's a machlokes. It's a debate whether the bowl of soup is a kli shadi or a kli shlishi, because the ladle is this kind of strange in between situation, right? Because is the ladle like an extension of the kli rishon because you put it in the hot water, you put it in the pot of soup, or is the ladle a kli shani and the bowl is a kli shlishi, which gives us more reason to be lenient? Certainly, you can put salt in pepper. A little more question. You probably can put in pepper also, but we're gonna have the conversation probably in a future week. Cold water may not be added in small amounts to a pot of hot water or soup. since the cold water will become heated by the hot water of the Kli Rishon. Similarly, cooked liquids which have cooled may not be added to a Kli Rishon, since you can't reheat liquids that have cooled completely. Okay, so that's Kli Rishon, right? Soup on, you know, soup on whether it's the pot of soup, whether it's on the fire, removed from the fire, that's Kli Rishon. Okay, so now, what about Kli Sheni? What about Kli Sheni? So, Bishul and Kli Sheni, this next topic is Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi. We're only going to get to Kli Sheni here, I think. The Tosos and Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Beis, is the following. Ushmavida Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. Oh. So, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Beis, that Kli Sheni does not cook. So the big question is, why is that? Why is that? They say according to the Ramban and the Yerushalmi, there seems to be no real difference in Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. What's the difference really? What's the inherent difference? According to the I gave a theoretical reason, but let's say according to the Rabban, then a Kli Rishon is a gzeira, so why shouldn't Kli Sheni also be a gzeira? So Tosu says there's a fundamental difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Okay, so there's a fundamental difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. So says Tosfos, Tema Maishna Kli Sheni and Kli Rishon. What's the difference between Kli Sheni and Kli Rishon? Yatzaletis, I feel a Kli Sheni Nami. If the issue is Yatzaletis, then even a Kli Sheni should be forbidden. The Ein Yatzaletis, and if it's not Yatzaletis, in other words, shouldn't the issue simply be whether this is 110 degrees? So if it's 110 degrees, or 113 degrees, so then who cares if it's Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? Shouldn't it be the temperature? And if it's less than 110, 113 degrees, then who cares if Kli Rishon should not be Mevashel? So V'yesh Lomar, Lefisha Kli Rishon mitoch she'amad al ha'or, dofnosav chamin, u'machzik chomo zman meruba. That since a Kli Rishon is on the fire, so then its walls are hot, and then it holds the heat for a long time. Ulekach nasnu bo shir the kol zman shiatzaletis bo aser. So it has the status of yatzaletis bo, that as long as it's yatzaletis bo, it's forbidden. Aval Kli Sheni afagav the yatzaletis bo mutter, even though it's yatzaletis bo, it's 110 degrees, the water's 120 degrees, it's still permitted. Because the walls are getting cool off quickly. If you have a pot of hot water that is heated on the fire, so the walls are hot. And since the walls are hot, even if you take it off the fire, the walls are still hot. And if you pour something in it, so then it's going to cook much better, as opposed to if it's a Kli Sheni. So what's a Kli Sheni? You take this cold cup and you pour some hot water in it. So then it's not gonna cook as well, because the walls are getting cooler and cooler. Let's read this footnote here. Try to explain a little more. Footnote 5. It says commentaries disagree as to the meaning of the distinction explained by Tosfos Kortesav. Kli Sheni does not cook on a scientific level due to the considerations mentioned. In the case where food does clearly get cooled in a Kli Sheni, one would be prohibited from cooking in such a manner. So some want to say that if indeed it's like, again, it's like 200 degrees in a Kli Sheni, so then, and it would cook, it's very hot in Kli Sheni, so maybe it is a problem. Others understand that Chazal established a rule that Kli Sheni is not subject to Bishul in any situation due to the reason given. Once Chazal established the guideline, it applies in all cases, even if food in Kli Sheni clearly does become cooked in certain cases. Meaning that a Kli Sheni, it's not the way to cook. You know, I don't care if it can cook, since it's not the way to cook, It's not called Bishul. So that is the position of Tosfos. So that's between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. There's something called Davar Gush. What's a Davar Gush? Davar Gush is, let's say, a piece of meat. This Gush means something that's solid. So here's the question. Is a piece of meat like a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? Let's say you take a piece of meat, a boiling hot piece of meat, and you put it on your plate. Can you put some uncooked seasoning on it on Shabbos? Why would it be a problem? You took it off the flame, you put it on your plate, but you view the edge of the meat as like the walls are hot. In other words, when you pour some hot water in a cold cup, so the walls of the cup are cold, but here you put some hot meat on a plate, the walls of the meat are hot. So are the rules of a davar gush, of a solid food, the same as a liquid? If you look at this is a question, not only in terms of Shabbos, but also in terms of kashrus, in terms of absorbing taste. There's a sefer Isser V'Heter, maybe this will explain a little better, in source 9, Isser V'Heter Aruch, Lamed Vav Zayin, he says, Basa roteach sheyatz lettuce. Let's say you have hot meat, shenechtach besakin shel cholav ben yomo, mitashmish roteach, o besakin shel shari surim, agav ducha desakina, bolo bekulo. So he says, let's say you take hot meat, you cut hot meat with a dairy knife. So, and let's say the dairy knife is a dairy knife that was used to cut hot food in the past 24 hours. So you have this dairy knife cut cheese, so it has dairy taste, and now it cuts this meat. So does the meat absorb the taste of the dairy, or do we say no, the meat is like a Kli Sheni? And maybe Kli Sheni, maybe Kli Sheni doesn't absorb it. Maybe only if the meat's on the fire, then it will absorb it. But maybe when you take the meat off the fire and you put it on your plate, it doesn't have the ability to cook the cheese and therefore to absorb the taste from the cheese. That's the question. Does the meat absorb the taste of the cheese or the knife? And he says it does. Well, I have a little dummy, the Kli Sheni. It's not similar to a Kli Sheni. Bedavar Yavesh, Leika, Defaros, Hamakaros, Vavashel, Mia, Kozman, Shias, Lesbo. Because we're saying that the piece of meat, it's very hot. As long as it's 115, 110 degrees, 113 degrees Fahrenheit. As long as it's that, so the walls are hot, it's treated as a Kli Rishon, and it absorbs the dairy taste in the cheese, and therefore it becomes Basa B'chol, and you cannot eat it. The Yam Shel Shlomo says this even applies, he said, Lo Shach Kli Sheni, El B'mayim V'rotev. That Kli Sheni only applies with water or sauce, B'chol Devar Hatzalo, anything that's fluid. Shedisar Miyad Ka'achas, V'diskar V'mehera. So let's say you have, some sauce, some fleishig sauce, some hot fleishig sauce that was in a bowl, or a hot fleishig liquid that was in a bowl, and then it mixed with some dairy, so it may not transfer because it's a Kli Sheni. But of a lo bechatikas basar or dog, but you don't have Kli Sheni with fish or meat, but chol dvar shegush, anything solid. As long as it's 110 degrees, then it remains its heat. Maflit umavliya shapir, it can expunge flavor and it can absorb flavor. Shimachin nira the dochad voros gamkin. Same thing for milt and rice. Achar shediz ar shenis aru mikadeira letokadeira. Kolzman shiatz lesbo v'chamin hare hen kikli bishon. So if you pour any dairy into a plate of solid food, solid hot food, so that it absorbs the taste, and it becomes not kosher. The Rama disagrees, and the Rama says in source 11. We'll see how it gets to Shabbos in a second. The Rama says, Darche Moshe, he says, Avon kvar munach b'kli sheni cham aval pi sheyatz lesbo einu mavliya. It doesn't have the power to absorb taste. If you have a, and this actually comes up quite a bit. If you have, let's say you have a fleshig fork, and you used it. I mean, it's not exactly, but and you use, let's say, this fleshig fork to cut hot dairy food that was on your plate. So the truth is, the fork won't absorb the cheese. Let's say you won't absorb the dairy food because it's already a klisheni. That's what the Rama holds. And he's saying that it won't absorb the taste because it's a klisheni. And he says that, so he holds, so the Rama says that we rely on this. So in practice, if I have a, someone comes to me and they say, oh, I had a fleishig fork that I used to cut some meat, and it's a klisheni, so then it doesn't absorb taste. Only kli rishon absorbs. So how do we pass this when it comes to Shabbos? So the Magen Avraham in source 12 says the davar shugush afilu be klisheni mevasha v'chol shekein soli. He thinks if you have a piece of meat, so even though you took a piece of meat from the fire, you put it in another plate, so it would normally be a cliche if it would be liquid, but he says, no, this is considered a kli rishon, and it would cook. Or even in a cliche, a solid piece of meat, so that would cook even, let's say, other food that comes in contact with it. In source 13, the Chavos Das, Beurim Yoredeya Tzadi Alf Hey says no. Near the end, Bishul seems that when it comes to Bishul, Dini Yochol Levashel Rakli Rishon Sheish Lo Defanos Hamech Hamamos. That when it comes to Bishul, no, only a Kli Rishon could cook, right? Aval Shaar Dvar B'Chamin Av Sheish Lahem Din Kli Rishon, but other substances, even though they have a status of Kli Rishon, Chagon Davar Gush Larish Lamar Shal. For example, Davar Gush, according to the Marshal, Ein Avashel, it doesn't cook. Even though it doesn't have walls that cool down, they also don't have walls that heat. There's meat; it's neither. The walls of the meat, they don't heat up. In other words, you have a kli, like a pot that was heated by the fire. A pot of hot water that was on the fire. So the wall itself is heating up, even when we take it off the fire. But the meat, it doesn't have, the walls do not have heat. So therefore, he holds that's not a problem. So the truth is, the Mishnah Brura, turn the page 30. Mishnah Brura is strict. And so what that means is you should not add uncooked spices to a piece. So this is in practice, halacha lemaisa. Mishnah Brura says, and the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa Pini Halacha, so Minag Ashkenaz, practical, that if you have a piece of hot, very hot chicken, very hot meat, not warm, but very hot chicken, very hot meat, you should not put uncooked spices on the chicken or the meat, because that would be we treat it as a Kli Rishon. Rav Avadya Yosef is lenient. Rav Avadya Yosef says in Source 14, he says, he says the following. He says, "Maskana." Let's read the bold section. Maskana, the dina shalian shavas ain chilik ben marak for rotib klisheni. There's no difference between soup and liquid in a klisheni shiats lettuce bowl of engush klisheni or a salt food. Shiats the chol ofen nikdina shain kli sheni mivashel for the yats lettuce bowl. He says first of all, maybe the halacha is like the Rama, who says there's not a problem, and maybe. And maybe the Marshal's halacha, who says, yeah, it can cook, that's when it comes to kashrus. That's when it comes to absorbing taste. So there's a lot of reasons to be lenient. In other words, even if you hold that by, there's a machlok, even if you hold that when it comes to absorbing food for purposes of kashrus, so maybe it absorbs, maybe it doesn't absorb. Even if it does absorb, the Ramah says, maybe it's only halacha. In other words, maybe it doesn't absorb when it comes to kashrus, and even if it does, maybe Shabbos is different. So he thinks you could be lenient, but Ashkenazim seems to say we're strict. If you look in source 15, this is the Rabbi Ribi at 39 Malachos book. The custom is to be machmir with to treat a dover gush with all the shiksa of Kli Rishon. Therefore, you cannot sprinkle diced onion, garlic, celery, or any previously uncooked spices and seasoning directly onto a hot dover gush, just as you can't put these items in a Kli Rishon. So, big leniency though. Ketchup. Don't worry. Can you put ketchup on a hot piece of meat? It's probably a piece of chicken. Right? What do you think about ketchup? Because what's ketchup? Is ke what do you think ketchup is? Right? Ketchup is liquid. Right? Because we said, remember we said what's in between liquid and solid? Liquid is something that's pourable. So it's a liquid. Now, it's what those ketchup is cooked before. So, ain bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. Oh, wait, no, but it's lach, it's liquid. You can cook it if it becomes cold. So, why are we? So, Ramosh said you could be lenient. So, let's see, this is Ramosh's tshuva, source 16. The nir l'dinah, the rashaim litain ketchup, al basar roteach shita l'kli sheni. He said, you could be lenient to put ketchup. You can't put diced celery or garlic on your meat if it's boiling hot. If it's warm, you can, but if it's boiling hot, you can't. But you can put ketchup on it. Why? He said, even if you're generally strict when it comes to stringencies, there are two stringencies that are they're like we're being stringency after stringency. We don't have to go that far, even if there is a doubt what the halacha is. But both where there are two big stringencies here. So he said, avshu suffix. I mean, he says of a halacha chumra the yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. Who chumra be'alma shegedolia poskim safri. The gam belach achar bish belach ein bishal achar bishal chen who achras a ramav and the hagin came drak min tstanein legari machmir. He says, first of all, really, if you cook liquid, if liquid's already cooked before Shabbos, it's you really can't cook it again. So if it becomes completely cold, okay, we made a stringency, so you won't get confused and say maybe something that hasn't been a liquid that hasn't been cooked at all. You might think that's mutter. Really, the real halacha it should be that ain bishul achar bishul, even bedavar lach with the liquid, and even if it got completely cold. So there's a stringency there, and we're strict. But really, it should be mutter. But we're strict. The meaning is to be strict. And secondly, the chumra with davar gush, it's a major machlokes that the Ramah disagrees, and the Taz disagrees. And the Chassam Sofer is lenient, Behefsed Ruben, financial case, financial loss, and there are many who are lenient. So because to treat a Dover Gush like a Kli Rishon is a big stringency, and to treat Bishul Achar Bishul, but Dover Lach when it comes completely cold is also a stringency. When you have both of those facts, so ketchup, if you want to be strict with ketchup, you have to assume that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, but Dover Lach when it gets cold. And also, that we're strict, that we treat the piece of meat as a dover gush, like a Kli Rishon. We don't have to apply both stringencies. We can apply one stringency or another, but we're not going to use both stringencies to be strict. So therefore, bottom line, Moshe allows you to put ketchup on your meat, even if it's boiling hot. Now, the Chut Shanir of Nissen Karelet says, he makes another potential leniency. He said the following. He says, Gush, Adino Kli Rishon, Lavdach, Chatichas Basar, Alafila, Ores, Vedochem. We saw that when you say a gush, like a solid piece that's like a Kli Rishon, it's not only a piece of meat, but even rice and millet, is as long as it's hot. Vuadin, Kidneyos, also beans, Itrios, mushrooms, and also, or noodles, sorry, and certainly Kugel. That's all. But he says, Kuzad Dabkush, Ish Harbe Yechido Shel Ores, He says, when do we say they treat a dover gush as a Kli Rishon? That's when you have like a solid mass together. That's so then you have like walls that are hot. So then we treat like a Kli Rishon. Piece of meat, a piece of hot kugel, right? Or piece of rice, like a clump of rice together. But If you have like, you know, you have rice, most of us, we serve rice, and we don't have clumps of rice. You know, you serve, you don't have clumps of rice, so then there would be no problem of bishul to put, uncooked spices on pieces of rice. It would just only be clumps that's treated as a kli rishon. Okay? So one more, we'll do a few more sources. We'll get to what's called Eroi kli rishon, pouring from a kli rishon. So there's Yerushalmi.
Wait, Rabbi, yeah. I'm sorry. Before you go to Eroi kli rishon, just one quick question.
Yeah, sure.
So when you have like hot rice, this is, and we're taught, and the Dafar Lach that you cannot pour on it is like cold liquid.
Well,
but we're not.
Well, we're saying at the end of the day, you're allowed to.
So the stringency is, but like it's like a double stringency to not put ketchup on your rice or something.
It's a double stringency not to put, right? It's a double stringency for someone to say that you can't put cold, something that was a cold liquid on a dover gush, on a hot piece of meat. That would require a double stringency, and most said you don't have to be stringent. In other words,
but if you have like a hot liquid, kind of like, you know, you have like the, you cooked your meat and gravy, and when you served it, like there's like a spoon in the serving pot, and you want to take some gravy and pour it over the meat on your plate. That's hot also, because it's, you know, in the same serving.
You're pouring some sauce from the onto your hot meat, but there's nothing cold. There's nothing cold.
But there's no cold, right? No, I'm just, but you know, it's not as boiling hot as it had been in the pot, because it's been put in a serving dish and it's possibly
you know, if you take sauce that's warm, that you still view as like warm, you would still consider this like warm sauce.
Yeah.
Even if it's not completely cooled off, it's considered like warm sauce, even if it's not 110 degrees. So then, even if you put it in you put cold liquid, it's not a problem. Certainly the hot sauce would not be a problem. The warm sauce would not be a problem.
Okay.
All
right, thank you.
No problem. So now it's
sorry, so like let's say I'm not thinking about like meat, but like let's say you have pasta that you warm up like for shalashitas for your kids.
Right.
Then if you put something solid like cheese that's cold.
Right,
it's a salad, but like it, like will it melt it? Like, if it starts to melt it, is that so cooking it?
Remember the cheese is processed,
right? So, and it's cooked.
So that's already cooked, right? The cheese is already
right.
Cooked. So that's ein bishul. No, that would be ein bishul achar bishul.
Okay.
You're allowed to heat up cheese. I don't know if you have like a, you know, you would be allowed to heat up cheese on Shabbos.
I guess that's my question.
Right. You're allowed to have cheese. I mean, again, from a Torah perspective, they have to do like, is it Mexican Mavashel? Is it, you change the temperature? But theoretically, if you had to put it in a hot plate, you'd be allowed to, you know, you have to meet dairy, those separate questions. But you're right. So warming up cheese, so that's an example. Cheese is a solid food. Warming up cheese, just like warming up noodles. Think about it.
Seems so different though, because the noodles don't change, but the cheese will change.
Yeah, but it doesn't change into a liquid, I don't think. Depends how much, I guess.
No, not really.
That's what I'm saying. And then to change it to, you're thinking something, because it's not a moly, change it to a liquid. I think melting, right. I don't think that becomes like a liquid. Right?
Okay.
Okay. So the, okay. So, yeah, you raised other similar, I don't know if we'll get to into other things. Like, can you make toast on Shabbos? You know, can the bread turns to toast? That changes the status. I mean, we're not going to get into that. But I'm saying that, not right now, but I'm saying that's the issue. Like, what is something, that the issue of the cheese is changing its form. I think to make the cheese meltier, still the same solid. Okay, so now we're going to we'll talk about what's called Eroi Kli Rishon, pouring from a Kli Rishon, right? So here in Source 18, Yerushalmi says, he cites, it's a machlok, he says, Rabbi Yonah says it's Asur. Like, let's say you had some uncooked spices in a plate and you poured hot water into it from a pot, from an urn. So Rabbi Yonah says it's Asur, it's Eroi Kli Rishon. And then Rabbi Yossi thinks it's Eino Mitbashim. So you have this debate in the Rishalmi. And Tosus in Source 19 says, Rabbeinu Shmuel, maybe Raya, he brings a proof, the Eroi Kli Sheni, Meha, the Tkaimala Tatagavar. He thinks that if you have like a cold food on top of a hot food, or a hot food on top of a cold food, what cooks what? Right? If one food on top of another food, what cooks what? So generally, the I guess because heat rises, he says the lower item prevails. Whatever the lower item is, so that's what affects the other thing. There's whatever in the bottom. So if you have hot on top of cold, so then the hot doesn't heat up the cold. If you have cold on top of hot, the hot heats up the cold. So we're saying here, if you pour heat hold, if you pour the hot onto the cold, it's sort of like a cliche-y. It's not mavasho. And then he said, so that's the first opinion. And then he cites in source 20, and tells us continues. It's about the Levine era. No, the year is like Klirisho. The year is like Klirisho. And he brings a proof. So you have a debate amongst the Rishonim. And if you just turn the page, source 21, he says, and then he concludes that it's this kind of in between stage. Tosus in source 21 says, this is from Shabbos Mem Beis Mem Beis. So he concludes and he says, Venira, the Iroi, lo have a kli rishon, velo kli shady, al vashikle klipa. It's this kind of in between stage. That if you pour hot water from an urn onto a food, it will cook the outer layer of the food. So theoretically, if you're talking about kashrus, right? If you're talking about kashrus, and you have, let's say, a fleishig, you have fleishig pouring onto milchig, so you would. If it pours onto a solid food, if you can cut off the shell, you can shell the outer layer, then it'd be fine. Or is it only if it only transfers taste to the outer layer? It's more complicated than this, but on a very simple level, what we hold is that Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. It cooks the outer surface. So now if we transfer that to Shabbos, so it's Usur. I don't care if it cooks the outer surface or the whole surface. It's doing some cooking. Maybe from a kosher standpoint, they have said, so which is just the outer surface you have to deal with, as opposed to the whole food in terms of what's kosher, what's not, what tastes transfer or not. But then in the day, Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So what we're saying is, if since you pour hot water onto uncooked spices, so there it would at least cook the shell. So it would cook. It cooks. So that's a problem. And that's why source 22, the Shulchan Aruch Harachayim, Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud, says, also litein tavlin bikara v'laro salem ekli rishon. You're not allowed to put uncooked spices in a bowl and then pour from a, let's say, an urn or from a kettle onto them. That's asur on Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah in source 23, Aruchayim, Shin Yud Ches Sif Katan Ayin Dal, it says, mikli rishon, dafte tavlin ein bispashel bikli shedid. Even those spices are not cooked in a kli shedid. Mikol kova iro mikli rishon kai v'la dehu b'vashka kidei klipa. Nevertheless, Iru or Mikli Rishon is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So again, Kli Rishon is Mevashel, Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, and Iru Kli Rishon is Mevashel Bichdei Klipa. Therefore, the Shvir Shabbos in Source 24 says, Lefichach Yesh Lahakmi, therefore you should be careful. Shalom Nishpoch Mikli Rishon Al-Aleite, Shalom Yispashil Al-Gabe Eish V'Bodyob. Therefore, you should not pour from a Kli Rishon on tea leaves that were not cooked. And you shouldn't pour even onto tea essence, even if it was cooked. Because why? Probably because it's cold. Because right, you can't. Because if it's cold, maybe once it's cold, so then it can be cooked again. And O Lishpoch Litoch Tzalachas O Kosh She'ena Nekios Ve'ena Yveshos Lagamai. So this is the question. Can you pour hot water from an urn into a cup which has some droplets? Like, how squeaky clean does your glass have to be? Or does your mug have to be? Because if your mug has some droplets, let's say you wash your cup out, and now you want to pour some hot water in there, whatever you want to maybe put, right? So then, when you pour the hot water into your cup, if your cup has some droplets of cold water, are you cooking the droplets? That's the question. So the Shevet HaLevi, so this is what Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says. Also, Moshe Faitzid is strict. Look what he writes here in the notes section. He said, or not the note, between 24 and 25, said if the, even though you don't care about heating those drops of water, it's still forbidden. Shevet Alevi says, don't worry about it. Vosner says, I share source 25. Share Shal Lemaisa Ha'im Tzarech Liyave Shakos Lifnei Sheshochin Bo Mayim Chamed. You need to completely dry the cup before you pour hot water in it. Darki LaHakel, I'm lenient. Achri Hakos Hakos Al Yad V'Chiyotzi Bo Shiyotzi Ikar Lechos Abay. If you like, strike the cup on your hand once the main wetness has been removed. I need Sotzim Shinishara Ode Nenu Ode Begeder Bishol Klav Lo Nitzosif Lo Klub Bazev Inu Nenu Mina Bishol. Little drop that remains. You know, that's insignificant. You're not benefiting from the bishul. And he said, this is not even chatzi shir. Chatzi shir is a concept. Chatzi shir also in the Torah means that, like, let's say, in order to be chayav, there has to be a certain amount that you have to cook. But even if you cook less, it's you do part of it. It's still forbidden. Maybe not on a Torah level, but it's still called chatzi shir. This is even less than that. Chatzi shir shaychen kol gidrei bishul or the chatzi shir chayav. Chatzi shir means that you cook a lot, but not the requisite amount. There's no real cooking with just, you know, insignificant drops. You don't care about this at all, so he's not concerned about that. And Mordechai Eliyahu says, he said to go the opposite way. He says, sorry. Source 26, Simon Chaf, Shut Kol Eliyahu, Simon Chaf, Sif Lamed Gimel. He says, should you dry the cup that have little droplets of water before you pour hot water in it? And he says, don't do it. He says, we clean it. Yeah, we should shake it out a little bit. If there are some drops, it's not a problem because we don't care about these little drops. It is better, don't dry it with a cloth. You know why? Because if you dry with a cloth, you're concerned you're going to squeeze it. When you're pressing to get every drop of water, you might squeeze the cloth and you're going to violate tchita of squeezing. So bottom line is, there are some poskim who are strict. Moshe and Shemesh Abbas Chassos could be strict, but there are those, Shevet Levi and Mordechai Eliyahu, think that we don't have to be worried about it. So I think just try to, as much as you can, you know, get the water out, and some are strict to make sure every last drop is out, but there's grounds to be lenient if necessary.